and I'll do whatever your word says. That's the good kind of worship. This lip service without a life change, in this Laodicean climate that we live in, there's a lot of churches that cater to what humans like. And so it may be a powerful, soaring music ministry with talented musicians. That's not a bad thing. But is the place full of people raising hands? Oh, I feel God in this place. That's good. But yet I walk out, and on Tuesday, you know, you're really doing the same things you've always done. Hanging out with the same people. The real challenge of this worship generation, because we are almost worshiping worship. How was worship today? Oh, it was awesome. I felt Holy Ghost chill bumps go all through me. And they did that song I like, Chain Breaker. Woo, does that do it for me? Okay, cool. Come in the next week. How was worship? Well, not so good. They didn't do Chain Breaker. They did another one that, you know, kind of whatever. No, I didn't feel so much. Well, maybe I'll feel better next week. Loved ones, for your consideration, church isn't for us. It's for Him. It's the model of the Old Testament. And when Jesus would worship the Father, very often it was a great while before the sun was up and no one was around. Worship the Lord is not for how it makes me feel. But in this worship, sort of worshiping worship, there's a lot of people. Did you feel the Holy Spirit at that church? Huh? Well, I'm out of there. Did you feel the Holy Spirit at that church? Huh? I'm out of there too. Did you feel the Holy Spirit in that one? Oh yeah, baby, that was awesome. All right, that's the church for me. You may feel, I may feel, God's presence and power and love. But if that church is not teaching the Word, how do people know if what their lifestyle is pleasing to God? Jesus said, my words, your Bible, the red letters, my word is spirit and life. John chapter 6. So technically speaking, to have a spirit-filled service, according to Jesus, would be having a service that's filled with this. And because we are moved to stop doing the things that displease Him, that's the result of hanging with the presence of the Lord that is not merely lip service, but a heart condition. If His word isn't being taught or obeyed, it becomes all about ritual. Now, it's easy to say, well, I don't want to be a Pharisee. I don't want to be a Pharisee. Because a Pharisee ain't fair, you see. I don't want to be a Pharisee. I can go on. I don't want to be a Sadducee, because a Sadducee is sad, you see. Any Christian campers out there? Anybody at all? All right. We think that the Pharisees and Sadducees, yeah, I can find them. After all, they were wearing practically a uniform. Today's message is probably going to be titled, Chained to a Pharisee. Yeah, it's easy to do. If the word isn't being taught, if the word isn't being obeyed, then in the church culture, it's about some kind of a ritual. You got a church culture following gifted or experienced leadership, but I'm following people, not what God's word says. The Laodicean program is about building community, building strong relationships, finding what your gifts are. Why? So that you can find your purpose. Really? Because then you can use your purpose for the good of the church's mission. Even your city. There's something called the social gospel, if you didn't know. What's that? That's when you build the poor village a clean water system, or you go downtown and you feed the homeless, whatever it might be, and when the non-saved people see how good you treat them, that will compel them to want to follow Jesus. I see a certain logic in that, but I'm not sure that was the model of our Lord. At one point, did you know that Jesus blew up his mega church? He fed the 5,000 in another location, and then they went across, and all the 5,000 plus their families met him the next morning. So 5,000 men plus their family, do the math, what is that, 15,000 at least? Jesus, they say, we're so glad you're here. Do that ministry thing. Show us a sign. Now, what did they want? Did they want the living Messiah, or did they want more bread and fish? Megachurch, look at you, 15,000 people after one event. Wow. Let's get everybody trained up. Let's get everybody finding your spiritual gifts. Let's break up everybody into community groups. And let's get everybody moving, because we have a juggernaut of ministry rolling here. All right, Jesus, give us your administrative skills and organize us in tens, fifties, hundreds, and whatever it might be. A la Jethro, as what he told Moses. Here's Jesus' response. Imagine your first Sunday with 15,000 in attendance. And Jesus says, good to see you, everybody. Now, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, can't be in this church. People went, I mean, I was looking for breakfast, but come on. What? And they all left. Jesus, you had a mega church. Isn't that what we're about? Isn't that what this is for? Is it church growth the aim? Now, we know what he was talking about, because in about a year, year and a half, in the upper room, he takes the bread and the cup and says, what? This is my body broken for you. This is my blood spilled for you. And then around the table, they all would have went, oh. But that's a year and a half in front. He tells the crowd on the first seeker-friendly service, welcome to Galilean whatever church. And before he even passes the bucket, because imagine what kind of offering that would have been. He said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part of me. And they all leave. Ew, we don't want to go to that church. And then he turns to the disciples and he says, will you leave now also? Peter swallows hard. He says, you know what you just said is really hard. But who else has the words of life? Because what has Jesus been doing? Walking on the water, raising the dead. Living the kind of life. He knew truth when he heard it, did Peter and the disciples. You know what you just said was really hard? And I wouldn't categorize that as seeker-friendly stuff. But I know of my need for the living God. And you are the source. In one fell swoop, in one Sunday morning sermon, Jesus told the disciples, away with all the artificial spiritual life support systems. It's all about me. I know that flies in the face of a lot of what many of you in this room have heard from churches all around. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, we don't have time to turn there, we'll get there possibly in a week or so. He said, you know what? You have to deny yourself. You have to take all your notions and traditions and resumes. You got to die to them. If you want to follow me, you have to take up your and follow me. Does that sound seeker friendly? Verse 10, let's keep cruising. We won't go all the way through the chapter, or you've probably deduced that one by now. And we had called the multitude to himself, and he said to them, hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth that defiles the man. It's not about who washes what, but what kind of eggshell, whatever. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of his mouth. That's what defiles the man. Don't forget, in chapter 12 of Matthew, he said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Verse 12. Then his disciples came to him saying, you know, Jesus, you know, we don't want to tell you your business. Watch this. Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when you said that thing? What is Peter saying? The Pharisees and the scribes and the leaders, they were a big part of the Jewish community. And a lot of people thought if anyone was doing it right, it was those fellas. And by the way, the Pharisees especially, they had the ability that if they didn't like you and they didn't think you were passing muster in their eyes, then they could go to your employer, have you fired. They could go to your parents, have you disconnected from the family. It was not a good idea to cheese off the Pharisees. You know, Jesus, what you said to them kind of cheesed them off. Are you sure you want to do that? Let me paraphrase. These leaders are very, very, very important. Our relationship with them is directly proportional to our success. If we're going to do this God thing right, we better keep in relationship with those fellas, because they're the ones that have the real Skippy, is what they're saying. Now, before we snicker at the scribes and Pharisees, I do the same thing. There are Pharisees in my life. You mean other humans? Could be. But it could be anger, unforgiveness. It could be fear. It's something that has convinced you. You have to maintain a good relationship with me if you want to be successful. Is it a 12-step program, a one-step program? Is it another Christian? This is what Jesus is saying, and it's by design. Lesson number one, you got to feed my sheep. Lesson number two, when I'm not around doesn't mean that I'm not around. And number three, you got to watch out for Pharisees. If you're not careful, you will chain yourself to one and believe with all of your heart, soul, and mind, I have to be very careful not to offend my Pharisee, because my success, my healing, my freedom is tied to a relationship with them. Verse 13. But he, Jesus, answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. This is important. Did you know that the devil plants Pharisees in your life? Is it abuse of some kind that the Pharisee has said to you, you'll never be over that wound. It's too big. And after all, you have very educated other Pharisees telling you, no, you're always chained to that. And that tells you who you are. Oh, don't believe it, loved one. Don't be chained to a Pharisee. Because the enemy plants stuff too, and God is going to uproot them all. Hopefully more this side of glory than the other. Amen? Verse 14, let them alone. Forget about those guys. Release them. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. Jesus is asking us a penetrating question. What relationships do you have in your life? They may even wear a Christian name badge, but are they slandering? Are they doing things on Sunday that are different for what they're doing in their life? Is it possible that they are a plant of the enemy? And you think, my relationship with this person depends on my success. Verse 15, and so Peter, thank you for Peter, Lord, because he's just like me. Then Peter answered and said, Lord, question. Yes, Peter. What? What are you talking about? These Pharisees are very important to us. We can't cheese them off. Verse 16, so Jesus said, are you also still without understanding, Peter? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth, they come from the heart and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts and murders and adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile, but they didn't come by what they ate. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. We're sort of done with this section, but a couple thoughts, you guys. What was coming from the inside of Jesus recently? Let's review. Feeding of the 5,000. Spiritual provision. Walking on the water. Complete authority. Healing everyone at Gennesaret. Deep compassion for the lost. Okay, pretty good fruit. Would you agree? What was coming out of the inside of the Jewish people? Blindness to the revealed word of God, Jesus. There's Jesus, the fulfillment of 300 prophecies, standing right in front of them. And they're all, they missed it all. And irritation that their ministry is being diminished by the living example of God's word. We hate that. When our crowds get smaller and his crowds get bigger. What was the Pharisees' response? Easy. Call people away from truth and life, if you will. Call them away from the word of God. Call them away from the capital W word of God, Jesus. And certainly call them away from the little W word of God, his Bible. That's what they do. And what's their message? Your relationship to me is how we do things around here. Our methods, our culture, that's what's crucial for success with God. Right in your margin here, Psalm 146, verse 3. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. Humans can't fix other humans, you guys. This is a powerful lesson for the disciples. If you're going to be in ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't depend and trust the humans. Even if they have pastor on their lapel. And also Psalm 40, verse 4. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Can I say this with great respect, Harvest family? It's a tremendous privilege to sit up here and speak God's word. Tremendous responsibility. A beautiful, beautiful, beautiful opportunity. Do not trust me. Take everything that I say back to the word. And don't trust relationships. Christians are notorious for that. I met so-and-so at a woman's get-together. We sat across the same table. She brought this and I brought that. Or at a small group or whatever it might be. And we form relationships. And Christians are famous for forming relationships that if that person is not demonstrating spiritual truth, they say, are you going to trust me, says your relationship, or are you going to trust God's word? And more often than not, Christians will trust a relationship and put it first in front of God's word. And in some church cultures, great worship, but what if there's no word? Get out. What about great programs? People are busy. I have found a little program that fits my niche, my little series of experiences and so on. I found a great program for me. But without repentance, is there a significant lifestyle change? Get out. You are chained to a Pharisee. What about great social and community impact? Our church feeds the poor. Well, isn't that good? Well, of course it is. Yet those impacted by your ministry, are they teaching the whole gospel? Not just Jesus loves you. What's the other side? And if you reject his free gift, there is a very real place called hell. And then finally, great serving. This is a big one in churches. I serve all the time. But if the fruit is slandering and gossip, what good is the service? That person thinks they're doing great, but they are chained to a Pharisee. Trust only Jesus. And remember what he said, Matthew 16, verse 24. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I, like many in this room, are very aware of the times when Jesus had to knock heads with the scribes and the Pharisees. It's a tremendous temptation, Lord, to look at those interchanges with a certain eye of a student or some sort of disconnected observer. Let me say it in another way. hey, disciples, feed my sheep. Okay? Hey, disciples, even when you're freaking out, you got to know that though you can't see me, I'm there with you. Hey, disciples, you got to watch out for being chained to a Pharisee. Peter said it. Jesus, we have to maintain a relationship with this guy if we're going to be successful. Jesus said, Peter, you got to lay it down, because Pharisees don't know it, but they are blind and they are leading you into the ditch with them. Father, in Jesus' name, I come against the Pharisee of depression in this room by your Spirit. I'm not trying to diminish the powerful challenges that many have faced in this room, whether it was growing up as a child or even recently. Everybody's head down, everybody's eyes closed. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, move through your sons and daughters. Fear, in Jesus' name, be broken. Are you chained to the fear, Pharisee? Are you chained to the anxiousness, Pharisee? And he has convinced you, you need me. Jesus says, break the chain. Are you chained to rebelliousness as a party that says, I'm doing the driving? Are you chained to this new notion that has recently presented itself? Wife, your husband is adult. Your husband doesn't know you, doesn't love you. He is not sensitive to you. Maybe you better find someone who will. And you've been entertaining that notion more and more. Husband, your wife is not pleasing you. Get rid of her and get you one that will. That's a Pharisee saying, you deserve better. When God's word says, hey, husband, he that has found a wife has found a good thing and receives favor from the Lord. I know. You don't know my wife. And with great respect, what role have you had, husband, in allowing your wife to arrive at that place where she has withdrawn and disconnected from you? That's her fault, is it? Are you open to the possibility that there's a Pharisee chained to your heart and you're entertaining some notion that is not God? If you need freedom, or saving, he's a prison-breaking Savior. If you got pain, he's the pain taker. And nobody else. In Jesus' precious name, everybody said, amen. Amen.